thankful, amen, to be here, amen, this morning. Amen. And welcome our visitors. Brother Roger, you just keep sneaking in. But we're glad to have everyone here this morning. Amen. I wanted to make the announcement again that I'll be leaving this week to go up to Ohio to visit, and I'll be returning on the 2nd of August. I know I previously said the 1st, that's when I'm leaving, but I always leave at night, travel at night, and I'll be getting back here in here on Friday morning sometime. This next coming Sunday, Brother Matt Woosley will be here. I may have misspoke his name last Sunday. I don't know. I didn't go back and listen to it. But somehow in my mind, I get it mixed up with a name of a principal that my kids had when they were in grade school. And sometimes I missay his name. But it's Brother Matt Woosley, and he's from Virginia. So I met him last year through Brother Phil, I'm sure you'll get to enjoy. I just wish I could have been here to hear him, but I tried to get him last year to come, the time I was trying to get him was because Brother Phil was going to be out of town. Then I found out the two of them were going to be out together, probably doing some like hiking or something, or camping or something, or so. So that'll be next Sunday on the 21st. And then Brother Phil will be here for the other services. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer now before we turn to the scripture. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, to be here this morning. We ask God for you to come, Lord, and just anoint us this morning, dear God, with your spirit, dear God. Lord, I pray you'll not just anoint me, but anoint the ears and hearts of the hearers this morning, dear God. And Father, I pray, bring understanding to us, dear God, and bring liberty and freedom to your people, dear God. Bless them today, I pray, with your word, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I want to read from Numbers chapter 19 to take my text this morning. We're continue on the subject of water of separation. Numbers chapter 19, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came a yoke. And ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take her blood with his finger and sprinkle her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation seven times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, and her skin and her flesh and her blood with her dung shall be burned. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast them into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in the water, and afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until even. And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in the water, bathe his flesh in the water, and shall be unclean until the even. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them up without the camp in a clean place, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. And he that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. And it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourn among them for a stature forever. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as you so often hear us say, these things that were set down by God to Moses for the children of Israel, They were actually a shadow pointing to the coming of Christ, the coming of the Christ coming to actually be that ultimate sacrifice for sin. And so when Christ came then and was crucified on Calvary, the laws and the ceremonies and everything, they passed away with the shedding of the blood. And Brother Branham gave the illustration of this, like he said that when a person is casting a shadow, he says as the person approaches his shadow and finally arrives there, then the shadow is no more, and there stands the actual person that the shadow was pointing to. And he said, so that's what happened when Christ died on Calvary. He said, grace and law met at Calvary, and the law was fulfilled, and Christ come into existence. And you remember the scripture of Jesus saying, he come to fulfill the law. And meaning him fulfilling law meant the law was pointing to him, but once he came, he fulfilled what it was pointing to. So now the promise had come to completion. Now turn with me into Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll begin reading at verse 25. Now, in Numbers, when they would burn this red heifer, sacrifice it, and then burn all of it, make it to ash, mix it with the water, and then the people would be washed with that water. It was a sign of purification from their sin. But you realize that they had to come. And this was an ongoing thing that they kept this. But once that Christ came, then it was a sacrifice that was offered once and for all. And then the sinner is purged from their sin. And so then, but this washing of this water of separation, it was a type of what was going to happen after that the law was fulfilled. And now we find it here in Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Washing, so this washing of water by the word, so the water of separation that was set and established there under the law, this is the coming of the fulfillment of it. And so in our day, it's not that we sacrifice a red heifer and go and wash in the water that's mixed with the ashes, but we're actually washed in the water of the word that has been provided to us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so the water of separation today, Brother Branham said, is the preaching of the word. And the word comes and it identifies for us and makes us realize our condition. The house, Brother Adam says, judgment begins at the house of God. And we realize that the scripture tells us that we judge ourselves now, that we would not be condemned in the day of judgment. So that we actually come under the word of God in the house of God. We hear the preaching. And you know, many times people look on it sometimes so negative, when something is pointed out
and they see that, they feel like, well, I'm being preached on. Look, that's not being negative. That's actually the Holy Spirit coming and washing you by the water of the Word. And He's actually separating you from your sin. He's separating you from your guilt. And he's actually, through the Word, it makes you realize where you're standing. That you can see what your condition is, where you lack, where you need to bring attention to in your spiritual walk. And, every promise of the Word is made available to you. Brother Branham said in the message, the handwriting on the wall, many of you, I'm sure, have heard that message. It's a message Brother Branham takes his text and talks about during the time of Daniel the prophet, and when a hand came down and wrote a writing on the wall to bring judgment upon that nation at that time. And then Daniel comes out and he interprets the writing that's on the wall. And Brother Branham was using this to actually bring the people to actually examine themselves, bring the people who claim to be Christians and believers to examine themselves, to examine things that they had been taught, to examine the things that they were setting under, and actually examine the condition that they were in, and to actually then to motivate them to actually get right with God. And he entitled this message, Handwriting on the Wall. And at the conclusion of this message, Brother Branham says this. He says, how many loves him with all your heart, and you're ready if he should come? Oh, how thankful. Don't you feel just like you're scoured out right now? The gospel, we are washed by the water of the Word. Don't you feel like you've been scoured out? It's not a negative thing. These, when the preaching comes and it points out our deficiencies and things and where we need to actually to move closer to God, it's not a negative thing. It's actually a positive thing. Listen, when a parent corrects their child and tells them to get out of the street or you're going to get run over by a car, that's not a negative thing. That is an actual positive thing that is actually being produced because of love. So it's as the scripture we read there, the washing the water of the Word, it said, as Christ loved the church. That's why he wants to wash us by the water of his Word. That's why he wants to identify to us these things and areas in our life, because he loves us. And his goal is to present us to himself holy and without blemish. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to just kind of skip through some verses here in the 10th chapter. I'll start with verse 2. So Paul is actually speaking about this, the offering of these sacrifices that were done yearly, and that when the Christ came, then that offering of these sacrifices yearly, and that's done away with. And Paul says here in verse 2, for then would we not have ceased to be offered, because the worshiper once purged should have no more conscience of sins. Now verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Verses 17 and 18. And their sin and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. So when these offerings, these sacrifices were made in the Old Testament. The thing was, it was to purge men from their sin, but it didn't remove the desire of sin, because there was no life that could come back onto the believer and change the believer. And so that's why there was a necessity for there to be an offering every year for the people sinned. But when Christ came, that Brother Branham says, the life is in the blood cell. And he said, when God came down to become Christ, there he says he created a cell, a blood cell, and placed that blood cell there in the Virgin Mary. And he says, then these blood cells that he created multiplied. He says, but the life was in that cell, and then comes forth, Christ is born, the Son of God. And then when he shed his blood, he said, that blood cell was broke. And from there then, when the blood is shed, then the life could come forth from the sacrifice of the Son of God. And that life could come back upon the believer, which makes a change in your heart. Therefore, it's why the scripture says, the worshiper once purged hath no more desire of sin. There's something that's changed in the heart of the believer. Now, there's still, the problem we have is, there's still a memory in us of the sin. But that life that's inside of you, the real you, it's been separated from that by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, Brother Adam says this in the message of Jubilee. He said, For once by one sacrifice he's perfected forever those that are sanctified in Christ Jesus once and for all. Oh, you'll backslide. You'll do things wrong. But one time Christ sanctifies a human soul by filling him with the Holy Spirit, it's perfected forever. There you are, no more desire to do the wrong. The worshiper's been purged, no more conscience or desire. The worshiper, the believer, has no more desire of sin. He's perfected by that one sacrifice forever. So then we realize that God, then looking through the blood of Jesus Christ, that's how he sees you. He sees you when you have come and accepted, a person accepts Christ as their Savior and actually accepts the Word of God, then God then looks through the blood of his Son at you. Brother Mem said, you'll backslide, you'll make mistakes, but you have been purged. Now, how is it that we can remain that way? Well, the scripture tells us, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Job speaks about it and says, when Job was saying, there's no daysman, a man to stand between, he said, man and God. He said, someone to stand there with one hand on God and one hand on man, and to stand there to intervene between God and man. But Christ came to be that one. That's what it means by we have an advocate with the Father. We've got one that stands there between us and God, stands between us and judgment. So what do we have to do? Just confess your sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive you, the Bible says, and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So when God looks, you know, here the heifer was red, the blood was red. And Brother Bram says, when God looks through the red blood of Jesus Christ, he sees you. He does not see you as a sinner. He sees you white as snow. Now, we look at ourselves is our problem many times. Many times we get so down on ourselves and living in condemnation, you realize it's the devil that brings this accusation to you. Points out all of your mistakes and your faults and your failures. And then brings a feeling of condemnation on you. Where you think, well, I don't really feel much like a Christian right now. I've not really been good. I don't feel so holy. And then he comes and hits you with, see there, you're going to miss the rapture. You're not going in this rapture. You're not worthy. Well, look, the washing of the water by the word doesn't just come to point out where you need to repent, but it actually comes to wash away this condemnation that the devil tries to place on you. Because the word, as I said, it's an identifier. It identifies you. Satan wants to try to point to our identity by pointing to the mistakes of this flesh that we're living in. But that's not what God's looking at. He's looking at our sacrifice. Hallelujah. So Brother Branham says this in the message of water of separation. He says, if you have a sin, apply the word. It's the water of separation. The water of separation separates you from sin. If you're weary, apply the water, the word. If you're sick, apply the water of the word. It separates you from sickness. It separates you from sin. It separates you from being weary. It separates us from every attribute of sin. So if you're feeling under condemnation, apply the word. So it's, what do you mean, Brother Jerry? Look at what the word says about you, not what Satan says about you. Not what the thoughts that go through your mind about yourself says about you, but look at what God says about you. Listen, friends, God's not depending on us to actually make ourselves righteous by our own works. What I just read to you out of Ephesians chapter 5, he is the one who makes us righteous. We can't make ourselves righteous. See, that was the problem that the Jews were having when Christ came on the scene, was they were actually trying to establish their own righteousness. And of course, we know that Isaiah says our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. Man cannot make himself righteous. We sing that song. He paid a debt he didn't owe. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. I needed someone to wash my sin away. We couldn't do that for ourselves. But see, when Satan comes to you and he's pointing out your mistakes and your failures, then he gets your mind to thinking on you're feeling so condemned. Well, it's because you're looking at yourself, this outside, to try to think that you can measure up somehow. You can't. So how do you get free of this condemnation? Quit listening to that and look at what the word says about you. The word tells us, we have been washed. We have been purged. We're separated from the sin. And if we make a mistake, Brother Ram says, we will backslide. We will make mistakes. But if we do, what do? Confess it to God. Confess it. If we sin against someone else, go confess it. Repent of it. Make it right. And we're not doing it to escape hell. We're doing it because there's something in us that doesn't desire that. See, the worshiper once purged has no more desire of it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says this in the message of Jubilee Year. He says, people say, I don't walk worthy. He said, no, but Christ in me walks worthy. He says, I'm not perfect. Never will be in this world. You're not perfect. Never will be in this world. Why? Because we're still living in this body of condemnation. This flesh. We, as that song says, one day the bars of bone, talking about this body, are going to burst wide open. And I'll be set free from this prison. The real you is imprisoned in this body. This body that is under condemnation by the representation of sin from the garden. When man disobeyed the word, he threw us, all of creation he threw into this situation, this condition. And we come to God. You know, but the thing is, we're still in this flesh, and we still have a memory of everything that we ever did wrong. Brother Bram says, you'll make mistakes, but the blood of Jesus Christ forgives you. Now, many of you are familiar with it. Before Brother Branham preached the message, and I've used this many different times, I'm sure you've heard it many different times, before he had preached the message on the masterpiece, he had an interview with a sister in the back, and it's called The Interview with Sister Bruce. And she comes to Brother Branham because she doesn't feel like that she is all right. She doesn't feel like that she has the Holy Ghost. And you know, he identifies the reason that she's feeling this way under this condemnation is because she's looking at her outside self. And Brother Branham says this to her. He says, look, I'm not a sinner and neither are you. We've got the blood of the sacrifice laying there. So God, he hears our voice, but he doesn't see us. He sees the blood of Christ. That's it. He sees the blood of his own son. It's our voice, Christ's blood. Then it's Christ that's talking through us to God. So therefore, we're not sinners no more. We are Christians. And she says, and he says, I believe you to be a genuine Christian woman. And she says, but I make so many mistakes. See, she's looking at, and it's Satan that's actually bringing this condemnation on her, pointing at all the mistakes that she makes. I make so many mistakes, she says. And Brother Branham says, that's why Christ had to die. So that you, with your mistakes would not be lauded to you or counted against you. God don't see those. Why? Because he's looking through the blood. He said, he took your mistakes. Then he says, the desire of your heart is to serve him. And she says, yes. And he says, all right. That's what he died for, so you could serve him. Your mistakes are not looked at. They're not lauded to you. He's your propitiation. He is your sin offering. Your sins are not known. You're not a sinner before God. Christ took your sins and became you because your desire is to serve him. And he points at, look, God's not looking at that. He's looking at your desire. And friends, look, the desire that is in you as a changed person, it doesn't want to be sinful.
And any time that it comes to your attention and you realize you misspoke or you've done something or whatever, what happens? There's something in you that says, Lord, forgive me, I didn't mean to do that. See, why are you saying that then? Because that's coming from the desire of your heart. The desire of your heart is not to be displeasing to the Lord. Friends, look, the desire of your heart and this flesh that you're living in, they don't match. Look, the Bible tells us that in the time of the millennium, that Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. And Brother Benham said, it's not a logging chain or an actual physical chain that binds Satan. He says, it's a chain of circumstance. And as I've taught you so many times, that circumstance that the prophet is talking about is the fact that you're not going to be in this miserable flesh anymore. You're going to have a changed body. A body that never sinned. How did this body come into being how it is now? Because of man disobeying the word of God in the garden. In the day you eat thereof, that day you'll die. So something broke down in the molecules of the human body when man sinned. There became a breakdown in the molecules that made up the body. So from that day forward then, the body began to die. Only had an allotted time. Before that, man was living in a perfect body. So how do we get back to that perfect body? You know, we hear the song about my theophany. And I want you to know something. The theophany is Brother Bram said, it's a heavenly body. But what we're going to be standing in the time of the millennium is actually a glorified body. People who die and go by the way of the grave now, they're in their theophany body. Brother Bram said, we living here on earth, we bypass our theophany. He said, but when we hear the word of God and recognize it to be the truth, he said, then we have heard from our theophany. Just like he talks about the woman at the well and the priest down at the temple and said, what's the difference? He said, she had a representation in heaven. The priest didn't. The priests that were denying Christ and calling him Beelzebub, they didn't have a theophany to hear from. But the woman at the well did. And that's why Brother M says, when you hear the word, and it has the effect on you to accept it and believe it. He says, you've heard from your representation. But the Bible says they that have went on, that are living in their theophany now, they without us are not made perfect. So they've got to come back down to earth and pick up a glorified body, which is actually a body that's made out of the same elements that this body's made out of. It's just they'll be set back perfect again. Now, look at this example. In the garden, we realize that Satan came down and he used the serpent to come and beguile Eve. And we know that the serpent wasn't a reptile snake crawling around on the ground. But it was an upright being, the closest thing to man. That actually the seeds of man and the serpent could mix. So when God came and when he cursed the serpent, and he said, this is going to be your curse. From here on thy belly thou shalt crawl, and dust shall be thy meat. Now, you know, as those that don't believe it, the serpent seed, you know, they always want to picture a snake that was there. wouldn't have been much of a curse if God told this thing crawling around on the ground, from now on you're going to crawl around on the ground. He was not crawling around on the ground. He was walking upright. But what changed? Listen, friends, there was something that happened right then when God brought that curse upon the serpent. Something happened to that serpent right there. What happened? The molecules that made up his body got realigned, restructured. It changed the structure of his molecules, and he went from being an upright being walking on two legs to being something crawling on its belly. So God's word can change molecules and how they're structured. So it's God's word and our belief in his word. And what his word says, that we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. So there's many places that it speaks about us receiving a body change. The Bible says, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So those who have went on by the way of the grave and are in their theophany body now, and in that body they don't need to eat, they don't need to sleep. So you really think about it, how could they really enjoy the millennium in that body? They're not perfect yet. They've got to come back and have a glorified body that they can be in the. How could they even, if they don't need to eat and sleep, if they don't need to eat, how could they enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb? So they got to come back and be in a glorified body. Then the Bible tells us we are changed in our body, and then we're caught up together to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So what happens? This body that you're in, the molecules, right now, Brother Branham talks about cancer. He said, what causes cancer? He says, it's a cell in the body. Cells are a molecule, made up of molecules. A cell in the body, he says, that backslides. And then he says these cells begin to multiply around this bad cell. And then he says a life enters in there, a demon life. He said, but when that life is cast out, then those cells have to die. That cancer has to die. He says that's how these tumors and things, they fall off the individuals, and that why? Because it died. But our cells, friends, look, because of the fall, that's what's happening to us. Our cells, as you get older, they don't multiply like they used to. That's why that you can't heal as quick as you used to when you was a kid. That's why you can't recover. You fall, as you get older, you fall, man, you're going to suffer from that for probably 2 or 3 weeks. And the older you get, maybe even longer you'll be suffering. You get old enough, you won't even be able to recover from it. Why? Because our cells, they stopped multiplying. When a little child, those cells are multiplying rapidly. That's why you see them grow and they get taller and bigger and they change and all this. Why? Their cells are multiplying. But then Brother Branham talks about, he says, you know, about age of 25, that changes. And then everything begins to slow down and it just keeps getting slower until finally, if we live long enough in this life, we'll go by the way of the grave. But we that are alive and remain when the body change comes, what happens? The Word of God, friends, inside of you changes these molecules that make up this body. And it goes back to being young again. And it won't grow old. The cells won't quit multiplying. Look, if you can't be happy for anything else if the body changed, think about this. You ain't have to worry about all this recovering that you go through now as you get older. Friends, look, it's all of our cells. It ain't just our bones. Think about it. You get older, you pull a muscle. How long does it take you, you know, to get over that? Look, friends, look, I got problems with my right shoulder because I used to own this dog that every time I'd take her out on a leash, she'd run and hit the end of the leash and yank my arm in the socket up here. I don't even have that dog anymore. But here, 2 years later, I'm still suffering from this in my shoulder. One day, we won't have that no more. This body will be changed. And then when that happens, friends, this outside will match what has already happened on the inside. So now, if you can believe the word that I've just preached to you about what's going to happen to your body and how that, what Satan, the reason he's bound in the millennium is because we're going to be living in bodies that he can't have any effect on. If you believe that, then believe the word I'm preaching to you about the real you that's down on the inside of this old pest house this morning. It's been changed already. That's how you are assured that you will be there in the rapture. That's how you are assured that you will have that body change, is because there's a change that's already happened in your heart already. Because the worshiper, once purged, hath no more desire of sin. You've been changed by your sacrifice. Hallelujah. You know, many people, I've dealt with individuals, even some family members, and that had done wrong things in their past and committed things in their past and that, and then they come to repent of those things, but they have trouble forgiving themselves. Because the memory of what you've done is still there with you. And the accuser, the brother, Satan, he's going to constantly come and remind you of those things. Oh, you can be going on and just living your life and doing things, you know, that you normally do from day to day and all that, and then something will be said, you'll see something, and it'll trigger a thought, and before you know it, your thoughts have ran away back to the things that you had done and just how bad you now feel about because you ever did them. And then before you know it, you dwell on that thought, and then you end up standing there feeling condemned and feeling bad. And then, of course, Satan's right there saying, "You big hypocrite, why don't you just quit and give up? Why do you even try?" And he tries to get your focus to looking on these things and looking in the past. And I've got a relative that had trouble forgiving themselves. And that I had talked with at different times and that. But they always just keep going back over these things in their mind of these things they had done and the harm and hurt that it caused to other people and that. And they, you know, and they'll get to feeling better for some time, but then they end up right back with this mental battle about it. And so, you know, of course, psychology today and that, they talk to people about trying to learn how to forgive yourself, take responsibility for what you've done, accept forgiveness from others, quit torturing yourself, quit punishing yourself. But friends, the washing of the water by the word, we realize we have been pardoned. We were in a prison of sin, but the great one came by and he gave us a pardon from it. You know how you forgive yourself? Accept the pardon. Say, well, I'm not worthy. No, we're not. But that's why he came, because he could be worthy where we couldn't. We could become righteous through him. As it says, he came down and became us, was made in a body of flesh, was tempted in every way such as known to man. He came down and became us. Friends, look, his body, after he reached a certain age, Jesus Christ, his body, his cells, they quit multiplying just like yours do. He had to experience. God wanted to experience everything that we experience. He became us so that we might become him. Hallelujah. Now, when Satan brings these things to remind you of your sin and your mistakes and your failures, and to try to bring condemnation on you, where does Satan work with that at? Brother Ram says he chose his battleground. He chose the mind. Greatest battle ever fought. Brother Ram preached on it. So Satan chose the mind. So he comes to you to attack you in your mind. Friends, I'm not trying to change your mind this morning. I'm trying to get you to quit looking at your mind, your thoughts of your head, your mind, and look at the thoughts of your heart. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Brother Ram said, you know, at one point there was those in science said, the Bible's wrong. A man can't think in his heart. He thinks with his head. Brother Bam said, yes, but there's two parts. That thinking with your head, that's all the intellectual. Yeah. Brother Bam said, that's what is wrong with a lot of people that come through the prayer line. He says, I ask them if they have faith, and really all they've got is intellectual faith. Brother Bam says, but science has found, he says, there is a compartment in the heart that there's not even a blood cell in. Brother Ram said, that place in the heart is the occupation of the soul. That's where the real you is. It can't be picked up with an MRI. It can't be picked up with X-ray. Science can't see it. That's why science can take an X-ray of your body and tell you, you know, or an MRI or some kind of imagery of your body and that, and tell you, oh, you've got this sickness or you've got that or this broken, this and that. But there's something that they can't pick up on these scans, and that something is the real you that possesses the faith in God's word that can say, look, yeah, you might pick that up on your image, but God can change that. I can be healed. Hallelujah. You know, some years ago, I end up having like three surgeries, three different surgeries on my back. And the last one I had was in 2008. And every time it was a ruptured disc. But in 2008, they said, we can't just keep cleaning this up on your this ruptured disc and that. We've got to, this has got to be rectified. So they sent me to a orthopedic surgeon, a surgeon that does surgery on bones. And he took an image of my spine, and he said, look, here's what your problem is. He says, when you were born, he says, there was one vertebrae in your back that wasn't formed right when you were born. And he says, and all throughout your life, he said, probably started when you were a teen, you begin to experience problems of this vertebrae getting out of place because it wasn't formed right. He says, and then you would probably go to the doctor and get it back in place. I said, yep, that's true. It all started when I was 18. And he says, and then, but over time, he said, that bone got worn to where it wouldn't stay in place any longer. He said, so then it just rested on that disc and caused the disc to rupture. He said, what we've got to do is we got to go in there, and he says, and we got to fuse these bones together. He says, what we'll do is we'll take a bone scraping from you from somewhere else. And he says, and we'll take some bone harvested from cadavers, and we'll mix this together. We'll make this bone mixture out of it, and then we'll put these rods and screws in there to hold these vertebrae together. He says, I'll pack this that I've made around that with this bone material. He says, and then we'll cage it around with that. He said, now I can do all that. He says, but it'll take God to actually cause that bone, that all to heal and become bone and fuse together. And when he said that last thing, I said, okay, I've come to the right doctor. Because he realizes his abilities only go so far, but then God's got to take over after that. As a man thinketh in his heart. Look, quit looking at what you're thinking about yourself in your head. Let the word come and wash you this morning. And let you look and see what you think about yourself in your heart. What do you think about yourself in your heart? Well, what actually causes whatever thought you have in your heart? It's because of the word that you've accepted that's brought that change in you. Hallelujah. 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 Accept the pardon. Look, friends, this message this morning has been about the word coming, not to point out to you you're wrong. That happens many times in different times that God will actually come and point out if we're wrong. But what the Lord laid in my heart this morning is to come to point out to you, wash you by the water of the word by telling you what the word says about you. So that you can go free from here. Not under condemnation. Brother Branham said in the message entitled Victory Day, preached it in April 21st of 1963. And, you know, V-Day was actually when they declared the end of World War II, that we had won. And it became V-Day, Victory Day. Brother Branham preaches this message entitled Victory Day. And he says, look, he says, you were in a prison, as I mentioned earlier, of sin. He said, but one came by visiting from prison house to prison house, offering pardons. And he said, for you to have a complete victory, you got to accept the pardon. And he says, He went from prison house to prison house for those who got he calls it marriage scruples, mixed up marriage, mixed up in their marriage. Marriage and divorce is really what he's talking about. Those who have frustrations, those who have doubt. Well, friends, look, Satan's constantly trying to bring doubt to you about who you are. You can be free of that doubt this morning by allowing the Word to wash you. Accept what the Word says about you. And Brother Adam says, I'm going from cell to cell telling them the governor is coming right along, pardoning everyone, taking everyone out of their prison. And he says, Father, you know the heart of the people here today. Make this be a V-Day, a complete V-Day. May there be a day that when everyone, Lord, today will receive the victory. Grant it, Lord. May every sick person be healed in this building today. May this backside of the desert be a time when the voice of God will speak through the burning fire of faith, oh God. That little fire burning there of faith, that little hope that's burning, may the voice of God speak through that to every prisoner this morning and say, I've come today to set you free. My prayer is that you can walk forth from this service this morning and feel that freedom. Feel that freedom from the condemnation that the devil is constantly trying to bring on you. And not just freedom for this moment, not just freedom for this day, but if you believe and accept what the Word says about you, friends, you'll never be under that cloud again. You'll be free from it. Look, friends, the devil's always coming to try to discourage, to try to tear down, to try to kill you. He tries to make people think you've missed your calling. You're not doing enough. You're not doing what God wants you to do. And get your mind so twisted up in those thoughts. Look, friends, when you were born in this life, God sent you here for a purpose, and you got a purpose to fulfill. Now, I want to tell you something, friends. If God sent you here for a purpose and you're His child, you will fulfill that purpose. So quit worrying about it. You will fulfill whatever that purpose is. Say, well, how will I know when I've fulfilled it? Well, either you'll go by the way of the grave or the rapture will take place. As Brother Bram says, look, he talks about people, don't be afraid of death. He said, Satan can't touch you, death can't touch you before your time. He says, everybody that's sent here on this earth was sent here for a purpose. He says, people look at Jack Cole, and they say that God had to take him off the scene because he went wrong. He said, that's not true. He said, Jack Cole was sent here for a purpose. And once that purpose was fulfilled, he says, then God took him off the scene. It's the same thing with the prophet of God for this last day. God sent him here for a purpose. Once that purpose was fulfilled, God took him off the scene. You've got a purpose. Say, well, what am I going to do to fulfill it? Just surrender your life to God. Be washed by His Word. Accept what He says about you. Friends, look, you will fulfill that purpose. Listen, friends, sometimes people are always trying to look for something, some mental realization of what it is. Sometimes, yes, it can be very evident. But you could have a purpose that you never even know what it was until you leave out of here. But your main purpose is to serve God and be a testimony of Him. Let your life be a living example of Christ. That's every one of our purpose. Hallelujah. Let's stand.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word, Lord, that you've come and washed us by this word. God, I believe, God, we can go forth from here this morning, dear God, and if we'll take a hold of what you spoke to us this morning and hold on to that, God, and the Holy Spirit will continuously bring it back to our remembrance, what the word says about us. God, we can be free of that cloud of doubt that Satan tries to cast over us. That cloud of condemnation that he tries to bring on our lives, dear God. Lord, the only reason he's doing that, look, Satan don't care about us. The only reason he's doing it is to try to discourage us. And Lord, your word, God, it doesn't come to condemn the believer. The only ones that are condemned by the word, God, are those who won't believe and accept the word. Then they will be condemned. But to the believer, Lord, your word comes to make us aware. That's really what conviction is. It makes us aware of our deficiencies, where we're wrong. It makes us aware, dear God, of what we need to repent of. And Lord, it makes us aware of just who we are. So many places, dear God, we find in the word is it pointing at the identification of the children of God. Just who we are. Hallelujah. The prophet said, when this bride realizes who she is, she'll be an invincible army. Hallelujah. Thank you this morning, dear God. Bless your people, dear God. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.